My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. This is a place where we meet people of special interest in the United Church of God and also people who cross paths with us. Today's person is Natasha Teague. She works coordinating Russian language publications here. She's originally from the country of Belarus, which was formerly one of the 15 republics of the USSR. Actually, both of us, myself and Natasha, have roots that go back to the USSR. My mother was born in the USSR, my father was born in Poland at that time, and Natasha was born in the Far East, way past Siberia, almost out to Vladivostok. But now she works for the United Church of God here at the home office, and we have been very good friends for almost 20 years. Welcome to Inside United.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
In Russian, здравствуйте.
Привет.
Okay, good. But we have a history that goes back to the Feast of Tabernacles in Estonia in the year 2000. And that's the first time that I met Natasha and her young daughter. And I was very honored to baptize her. I think it was close to the last great day, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we have had a relationship, a friendship ever since. I found her to be intelligent, pleasant, funny, but also one who really deeply respected God as our journey began. But Natasha, why don't you tell us about yourself, about your background?
Oh, first, it's really thank you for invitation. And for me, it's such a miracle to be here, such a blessing. I could not believe that I'm here to sit in with all of you. And every day I'm coming, mostly every day coming to home office, and we all feeling in home office that we are family. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody care about each other, everybody try to help each other in the best way. Cannot be better, mm-hmm. You know. But I'm thinking very often that I'm nobody. You know, I'm nobody. God brought me here. God opened my eyes without me even asking about it. Because, you know, of course, when I grew up, I had a question why we are here. It must be some more than just to enjoy or suffer in this life, produce children, and then die. Mm-hmm. I had this in my mind, but like everybody, mostly everybody in Soviet Union, I didn't care about God. I didn't believe in God. And actually, we studied at school, in the university, we had a special subject. And we studied no God. Everything is a man.
In other words, the subject was there is no God.
Yeah, it's no God.
And you had to prove that.
You know, because of course we had the special songs that, you know, it's not God, it's not hero, it's a man. What mm-hmm. we can do everything. Mm-hmm. It remind me just how in ancient time people tried to build the Tower of Babylon. Mm-hmm. Same thing. You know. But it was short time. Mm-hmm. And then we see and we prove that it's not good to live without God.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the thing that was so interesting when you first came to us. Here is somebody coming from a godless system of only one party, the Communist Party, mm-hmm. which official stance was atheism.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you were not even allowed to worship God. I guess you could, you know, but...
Yeah, but I didn't want to.
but you couldn't get anywhere in society if you didn't worship mm-hmm. God. And here you are coming from that, and here you are becoming enlightened. And right now, you know, you are just so much a part of us as a sister in Christ and believe just as we do.
But, you know, I'm thinking many times I'm coming, I think, just, you know, wow, I became a religious fanatic. You know, it's what I thought I will, you know, I never
that
thought
was what had happened to you then.
Okay. It's I never thought that it can happen with me because I look at these grandmothers who just sneakily going to the little churches and, you know, we all, it was our thought that, okay, they're not educated, you know, they're living in darkness. It's why they're going to help God. We don't need any help.
Now, here's a couple of things I'd like you to tell us about, because, you know, people also think that not only was it a godless society, but it was a very poor society. People hated each other. And yet you talk about you're working in Gomel and working with people that were your very good friends and life was good, you know, under communism.
Yeah.
That's kind of a oxymoron for many people about the fact that things were, you know, as good as they were. But what was life like and what was your work like and what did you do when you worked in Gomel?
I grew up in very, very lovely and intelligent family, and everybody around was very nice. You know, again, I'm thinking that I was with my family in the bubble, because we live in the center of the city. It was beautiful still, very beautiful park with history, 300 years history park. Mm-hmm. Beautiful river, lakes, and my dad was already retired in age of 44 to be Air Force pilot. My mom was housewife. My two brothers already, when I was six, they left to study in the universities. You know, I was a child that, I will say, spoiled with love.
You know? As a communist.
Yeah. You know, and I study in very nice school, then office, university. Everything was so smooth, so nice. I didn't know anything about Gulag, and I didn't know about how many people die during the October Revolution, about civil war and what happened in Second World War and what is real Communist Party power. You know, it was many good stuff. We have our morals. It's why when I start to communicate with church, you know, our church members, you know, I said right away, I believe in 10 commandments. You know, but for me, 10 commandments, it's mean just to be good, be kind person. And we never thought, what is real Ten Commandments? And when I find out, just for me, the most first, sorry, it's physical stuff, but I say, wow, unclean food? I cannot eat pork? Now, you know, how I can survive?
Sallow.
You know, just wow, nothing I can eat now because it was most popular. You know, food, it's just pork.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm saying, just I have very good memories of my life in Soviet Union because in certain way, we all were
brainwashed.
Brainwashed, You know, even it's good brainwashed. but now reading and watching the history, I put together, you know, the real picture of actually 20th century of Soviet Union and Russian Empire. And I feel such big love for my country.
Natasha, let's go to 1986. This was the year that the Chernobyl accident took place. Now, for our listeners here, Natasha's city of Gomel, Belarus, is 50 miles from Chernobyl. And it was on the track of the wind that took the radioactive plume from Chernobyl, which is right on the border of Belarus and Russia.
And Ukraine.
It's located in Ukraine. But when the top of that reactor blew off, and it was one Hiroshima bomb after another as far as the amount of radiation.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki blast 200 times stronger.
Oh, amazing.
Just 200 times.
Stronger amount of radiation and radioactive fallout passed over Natasha's town of city. It's a large city, but 300,000 or so?
Half million.
Or oh, half a million.
500,000, sorry.
Okay. So this is actually the largest city in the area closest to Chernobyl.
Yeah, yeah.
That this radioactive plume went right over Natasha that day and it caused a lot of health problems for many, many people, including Natasha herself. Tell us about that night. Tell us about what happened. And when you heard about that, this was April 26th. I want to hear it.
I slept very good. Next day, it was very good. I went to the office till May 1st, when we have like a special holiday of International Day, May Day.
May Day,
mm-hmm. Where, you know, everybody have like a bank holiday in America. Mm-hmm. It was already not Soviet Union. We didn't have any demonstrations in this day. Usually in big days, we just going, everybody, they send us from the office, going with balloons and maybe to say, you know, communist is good, communism and something. But it was good to be together at the holidays.
Yeah,
but we didn't know anything. And in May Day, you know, my family took like, we all came, as my son was 3 years old, and we spent 2 days even in the area, in the country, close to Chernobyl, like maybe it was 20 miles closer than my city.
And that was, and you weren't even notified about?
No, we didn't know anything. It was, I even remember like now, it was sunny, beautiful, a very warm day, you know, because in Belarus, it's just, weather is close like in New York.
Uh-huh.
Not on the north, but on the south, New York states. But not so many sunny days. And it was such beautiful days. And 2 days we were outside.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe on 3rd of May, I came to the office. And somehow somebody started to saying that, you know, Chernobyl blew out. But nobody really pay attention. You know, we all know that it's dangerous, but somehow nobody realized that it can be so dangerous because they didn't tell us how to save our health, especially children. We didn't know anything till, I believe, the scientific guys or from Sweden or from
I think it was Sweden.
I believe Sweden, mm-hmm. because they check the equipment and they thought that, you know, they need to change it because they are not showing the right numbers.
the decimeters were going off
the
scale.
Yeah. And then from the space, they see it's, you know, something very wrong in Ukraine. And but still, we wasn't aware that how bad it is can be for us. But they start to tell us, just close your window, you know, clean your place.
But that was too late.
It wasn't too late.
Oh.
It was because of your iodine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. very dangerous because mm-hmm. it's a... most dangerous. It's why, how it's called?
Thyroid gland.
Thyroid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's affect thyroid very, very bad for 2 weeks. But we had just maybe in a couple days, we knew it. Then actually it was 8th of May or 7th of May. My brother, he was just actually professor of economics, and he knew a lot of scientific guys in the city. We had a lot of university in Gomel. And they said, secretly, they said the station is in such dangerous condition, it can blow out anytime, everything. And I think not only he find out, few people find out, and everybody who had a car, they say, we need to run. And my brother had a little car. You know, he, his wife, and two of their children, and they took me and my son.
Where'd you go?
We went on the north of Orsha, mm-hmm. of Belarus. This night, I will never forget, because it was so many cars. It's not like in America, everybody have a car, yeah. you know, but people tried to run. Mm-hmm. And I remember
evacuation.
It was just for people who know, mm-hmm. just few people, not everybody. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting in the back seat and look back if it's already blow out or not. Mm-hmm. It was just so scary. And then I flew to my brother to Far East, to another brother.
To the Far East?
Yeah.
Khabarovsk.
Khabarovsk. Uh-huh.
Almost to Japan.
Yeah, yeah. mm-hmm. Actually, from my brother's apartment, from balcony, you can see China. Uh-huh. It's so close, you know? Yeah. Uh-huh. Gori, the mountains. Uh-huh. And we spent like 1.5 months with my brother. And my brother, he studied physics in the university. And he told me, don't worry, you know? It's dangerous, but everywhere is dangerous. you know, because he said, at least because now whole world know about what happened, they will somehow, you know, protect you or do something.
Deal with it.
Yeah, to deal with the situation. And I remember I was so worried, not about even myself, about my son, you know, that I taken just my hair, mm-hmm. and you know, every day making mountain because I worry so much, you know, I don't know how I can return. I even look for a job in Khabarovsk, mm-hmm. you know, just see it would be very difficult to move. Mm-hmm. And I decide to return back to Belarus
after how long?
1.5 months.
Oh, okay,
yeah, mm-hmm. And everything was the same. <You know? laughs> They say in the supermarkets, the milk. Only for adults. Mm-hmm. Don't give to children. Mm-hmm. Because it was a lot of radiation. They should not give to anyone. Uh-huh. you know? And actually, a few times I went to Moscow to buy clean groceries for my child. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember walking with 10 bags, you uh-huh. know, suitcases, bags. At least he will have maybe for 1 month or one mm-hmm. and a half months some good food. Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing story, Natasha, that I'm so glad that you're able to share with our listeners.
Yeah, and much more to say, of course, because, you know, sometimes memory giving you just a little spot.
Well, we're going to talk more with you about this on future podcasts. I might mention that right now on HBO... There's a series, a five-part series mm-hmm. on Chernobyl, and part four, I believe, just aired. So that's the context of the time here. We're in June of 2019.
Yeah.
And I thought this would be an interesting discussion here with Natasha, who was there at Chernobyl. But we have much more to talk to Natasha about, which we'll save for another program, about the work that she does here. She's she not only is an interesting person, but she is a very unique person who is very, very close to us, and we just enjoy her company very, very much. So thank you for joining us on Inside United. We're thankful that you come here regularly to listen to the wonderful guests that we have, and we ask you to come back again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.